You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Alrighty, what's happening? How are you today? Tinky and Tierney. Man, we got a lot to do today. Memo to CBS Sports Radio and see, well, we can't bump all the other shows because we probably do 10 hours in a row if we wanted to. All right, let's do this. Inside our Quicken Loans studio, national mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Another athlete burned by an old social media account or old posts. We'll get to that. Very interesting comments by baseball's commissioner about the game's best player. But we start the Kawhi Leonard saga, at least for now. We've got a little resolution here, Teak. What's happening, buddy?
All is good, man. I just feel like we projected this happening with the Toronto Raptors. Didn't know if it would actually come to fruition, but it ultimately does. And I don't know who wins. I don't know who comes out best here because Kawhi doesn't want to play there. Toronto feels like they're positioning themselves just to tank and rebuild in a couple of years. The San Antonio Spurs get a good player, but a guy who shoots 31% from three-point range, so he's not a difference maker per se down there. Popovich may ultimately retire in a year or so. There's unrest in the front office in San Antonio.
Who won this trade?
What I mean? This is almost like a trade just to do a trade because we had to get rid of the guy because he don't want to play here.
Yeah,
but guess what? You trade him to a place where he also doesn't want to play.
There's a lot here, man. It's all over the map. I think you hit on two key points. Number one, who won the trade? It very well could be a draw. It could be. And how long is he in Toronto? Like, the next thing is, does he really play hardball and say, I'm not showing up? Does he force the Raptors to trade him right away? And if he takes that stance, would they bend? Does he try to get himself back in basketball shape, prove to the basketball world that he's still Kawhi Leonard? And to do that, he plays 30, 40, 50 games in Toronto. Then he flexes behind the scenes, and he forces a February trade to L.A. I don't know, but I want to play this out of the shoe. Play Popovich. I have not heard this. Have you heard Popovich
yet?
No, I have
not heard his comments on this.
Okay, this is pretty recent. Here's Greg Popovich, then we'll get back to this, obviously. Go ahead, guys.
Kawhi conducted himself wonderfully while he was here. You know, he helped us win a fifth championship. As I said, he was a hard worker all the time. We wish him well, but at this point, you know, it's time to move on. I'm concerned about Jakob and DeMar and our basketball team and putting that together. We've got a lot of young kids, and it's exciting. But in no way, shape, or form does it do any good to go back in time and talk about A, B, or C. It's time to move on.
Yeah, this marriage was shot. I mean, this marriage was dead, and this had to happen. Listen, it's a smart approach by Popovich. That's one of the reasons why he's one of the best of all time. He's a forward thinker. And sometimes you got to scrap sentimentality, although I don't think his sentiment is very strong toward Kawhi Leonard right now, obviously. But I will say this. I think he's a little vindictive. Like, there is no doubt in my mind that he said, all right, you want to do this? Have fun in Toronto. And Toronto's a world-class city. When I say have fun in Toronto, I mean reacting to what behind the scenes appears to a real reluctance on the part of Leonard to want to go to Toronto.
Well, you got to believe that San Antonio, after realizing that the lure of a supermax deal, which is $220-something million, and the fact that you've been your entire career in San Antonio, you've won a championship, a defensive MVP, you've grown up in our organization, and all of a sudden you don't even want to talk to us, be disgruntled and have a gripe, kind of like LaMarcus Aldridge did last offseason, and we're going to sit down and we're going to hash it out. But you're not even going to talk to us? We're going to come try to find you in New York, and you're going to hide from us? You're going to push us through your uncle and your friends and your family, who are your go-betweens? It was disrespectful on Kawhi's part as well. Now, I think the San Antonio Spurs screwed this up also, whether it was misdiagnosing his injuries over the years, obviously some of the shade that came his way, whether it was subtle or overt, from his teammates or from Pop himself. We remember the team meeting where he just got ambushed, and it was just insinuation after insinuation after insinuation. You stop feeling comfortable, right? So it's hard to find blame on why this happened. It's just a shame that it did go down this way. I don't think that Kawhi Leonard is one of those players that needs to be diva-ish. He doesn't need to be like LeBron or any of these other guys that commands a spotlight.
He's a down-low diva. Exactly. That's worse.
Maybe,
he seems to be a down-low diva.
Maybe, but I don't know.
You know, behind the scenes.
But
BT,
I'm starting to think, just from reading and hearing everything around this, yeah. I don't think it's necessarily him. I think it's everybody around
him. He's got to pull him in, though.
Agreed. Now that's his fault. Now maybe he just doesn't know how to do that. Maybe he doesn't know how to talk back to his uncle or whoever is running his affairs. He doesn't know how to say that's not actually what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to play out this way. Or maybe he didn't even think about how it was going to play out. Because what you know now is that Kawhi Leonard, who just got traded to the Toronto Raptors, has Spurs fans saying, good riddance, right? This is one of your stars. They're saying, get out of here. I'm glad you left so that we can now reset. You know, thanks for holding us up for a year. They are unforgiving. When Kawhi Leonard, whenever it happens, goes back to San Antonio, he's not getting a standing ovation.
No.
I'm not sure. As much as he wanted to leave, he wanted it to play out this way.
Okay, let's give you a chance to jump in. Early thoughts on the trade, 855-212-4227. Who won, or is there a winner, more specifically here? We'll get some calls, get some tweets as well. I do think, given the timing of this here, Teague, that at least given the perceived negative energy that Kawhi has in going to Toronto, you know, that icy disposition right now, at least you have a chance for this to thaw out. You know, if this would have happened a week before training camp and he was just thrust into, you know, dumped into Toronto, he's got a couple of months to get his mind right, make sure his body's right, talk to the Toronto Raptors, get a feel for his teammates, get a sense of the city. I mean, you've been there. It's a gorgeous city.
You're right.
But he's from California, and it's the opposite. So, I mean, is he long for Toronto? I don't know. Financially, you know, this is what he's staring at. And in essence, this is what the Raptors are hanging their hat on. 5 years, $190 million versus 4 years, $141 million. So you look at that as, you know, basically $50 million to entice him to stay for the extra year.
That's it.
I hear you. But he's young enough where he's going to get another big contract.
True.
I don't know that the $50 million is crazy. Listen to what we're saying
here. Stupid.
I don't know if $50 million is enough to entice him. But when you really think about his age and his projectability, if he's healthy, he can actually sign the 4 years, swallow the $50 million dump off his bottom line momentarily, and then make it back, you would think, theoretically, either in marketing if he goes to L.A. or certainly contractually. So it's an interesting day in the NBA. You know, I usually look at these trades and I've got an immediate sense of who I think won. I don't know. I will give the Raptors credit in this regard. It would have been blatantly stupid, you know, for lack of a better word, to try to do the same thing again. Even though their bench is strong and we have respect for Kyle Lowry, he's a tough grinder. To go into the season, you know, with your two primary pieces that they've had now for a couple of years and have never gotten to the top in the East, let alone in the NBA, mix it up. And, you know, and sometimes for teams like Toronto, where it's cold, it's a different country, very few NBA players are from Canada, so you're already at a disadvantage right there. Sometimes you got to roll something that seems a little... what's the word? A little, certainly risky, but a little unnatural, a little bit of
off the beaten path.
A little wacky.
What's risky?
To see if you can get it going.
But I wonder, BT, what is it premature for them to go down this rebuild route? Because now people are talking about this is just a chance for them to clear salary. They had two max-type guys with Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan making a ton of money for the next couple of years. And if you really want to advance as opposed to standing still how you've been over the last couple of years, now I think that's a little bit it's
unfair to their accomplishments.
Unfair, exactly.
Yeah, I got you.
Because of LeBron.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all the LeBron factor. They were the best team in the East for a lot of this season. They have a mental block when it comes to LeBron, and physical block and success block. LeBron's not in the East anymore. So I almost feel, I mean, is this premature?
No, Celtics are so much better. So is Philly.
Yeah, but they're younger.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know,
but they'll, Raptors,
I think the Raptors still have a better bench. The question is, you don't know the advancement that Boston and Philly are going to make next year. Right, next year they could be two of the best teams in the NBA, right? Not just in the East, but in the NBA. If those guys, Ben Simmons, learns to shoot a little bit better, gets more confidence with his shot, I should say. If the Boston Celtics, learn how to play clutch basketball, particularly on the road, you know, they could easily jump to the top. So it's, but you don't know that that's going to happen.
No, you don't
know that. And therefore, and so It's almost defeatist. I mean, they won 59 games last year, BT. Mm-hmm. And here they are a year later with basically the same team intact, minus LeBron in the East, saying, all right, we're going to rebuild, right? We know we're going to have Kawhi, or maybe we're going to make a run at it in a year with Kawhi. But there's no guarantee Kawhi is going to be healthy. And if Kawhi is healthy and he does play with some urgency, like he cares about the game and not just being dismissive about being on the team, then you know that Toronto has to make another move at some point, whether it's at the midpoint next season or even before in this offseason, to really fortify themselves. Because they can only guarantee one thing. Kawhi will be there for a year. That's it. So you're
unless he doesn't show up. And there is that threat out there.
Man,
and by
imagine?
The way, no, I can't. But I can, because he is quirky enough. He is unpredictable enough.
But talk about, I mean, talk about sabotaging your reputation,
but
man.
It's already kind of beat. It's already kind of beat up. And he's already proven that he kind of beats to a unique drum. You know, it's just not conventional thought that applies to Kawhi Leonard's business.
But think about his injury history over the years. Think about the fact that he played 9 games. Now you're going to 86 a season on your own. You know, on your own volition, and now you're just gonna.
I wouldn't
expect people to pay you. There's no way.
The Lakers would. The Lakers would, because they'd have to give up nobody just for money. You know, the Lakers would.
That's a good point.
I mean, here's the thing, too. You know, we should probably move forward with an ounce of prudence or caution and say, hey, we went through this last year when we were trying to diagnose. You know what happened
with
the Thunder?
Yeah.
Ah, Paul, he never staying there. He's not going to stay with Paul George in Oklahoma City. He's bouncing. He's going to L.A. He's from there. No, he's not.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma City, while it's in the United States, is not an incredibly vibrant city.
Only difference is that Paul George, after being there, or at least after hearing the trade from Indiana to Oklahoma City, didn't say or intimate or have his people say or intimate, I'll have no desire to play in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and if they were thinking that, they kept it under wraps.
Yeah.
That didn't get out. That's true. I mean,
and that was out immediately.
I'll tell you what, I'm a Raptors fan. You know, forget about when, and you're right, by the way, when he shows up for the one game in San Antonio, he's going to be booed out of the house. Mm-hmm. If I'm a Raptors fan right now, I'm not very happy with Kawhi Leonard. I'm not sure if I'm cheering him on opening
night.
Right. He comes out and says, hey, I'm ready to be a Raptor. And maybe he'll come around to that thought process. But right now, I think it's dangerous to try to predict a guy who is very
unpredictable. Hell, he doesn't even talk, BT.
True. But it's beyond being unpredictable. He's quirky, a little strange. So, I mean, we can try to throw darts at the board. Right now, he's a Raptor. Beyond that, who the hell knows? Here's the poll question. We'll get these calls we see up there and line it up nice. 855-212-4227. All right, here we go. Based on the blockbuster NBA trade between the Spurs and the Raps, the guys want to know, be us, will Kawhi Leonard finish the 2018-2019 season in Toronto? Yes, nope, rerouted to L.A. Boom, pretty short, pretty simple, and pretty direct. So we'll get the calls, get the tweets as well. We'll get to Josh Hader. Wow. You can see the guys in the dugout looking at their phones when word broke. And I'll tell you what, I don't want to give too much away. But the people who dig up these tweets, and I'm not trying to exonerate Hader. We will really get into that full throttle, clearly. But you got to be kind of a twisted soul to, like, and karma's going to boomerang back at you.
Mm-hmm.
If you dig through 30,000 tweets to try to ruin somebody's life, what kind of person are you?
I agreed.
Again, I'm not saying that he's in the right, because he obviously isn't. Got a lot to do. Rob Manfred, very interesting comments on the game's best player. We'll get to that as well. 855-212-4227. Get your calls on the trade. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Summer is here, and so is the unbearably hot weather. Think about how much time we spend in the sun over the summer. We also spend a lot of time in our cars during the summer months. You know how that heat can just drain the life out of you? Well, imagine what it's doing to your car. Summer heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery, even more so than the harsh winter months. Heat, more than cold, can shorten your battery's life. Rising temperatures can cause battery fluids to evaporate, leading to corrosion on cable clamps and terminals. You always want your car at its peak performance, so stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts now and have your battery tested free of charge. That's right, free of charge. And if it needs replacing, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact Superstart battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. To find a store near you, visit O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, get it all at geico.com. And the way our studio is set up, I can hear the conversation as I read the read. Thankfully, I'm good enough to do both. But I can hear Santer and Tiki talking about Tom Brady's body.
Yes.
Hey, it's not, I mean, listen, you got to carry this conversation because you actually run and you're ripped and, but gee, I mean, is he kidding me?
Samter's trying to explain it away. He's a 40-year-old quarterback.
I understand that, but.
What did I say? I said, I'm 43. I know black don't crack, but come on now.
No, you go to any community, true. Go to any community pool and, you know, you'll find a group of 10 dads that are, say, age 30 to 40. I mean, you'll have two slobs. Yeah, it's inevitable. Then you'll have two guys who are absolutely yoked. And everything in between is kind of Tom Brady.
Yes, but he's a professional football player.
But he looks so much stronger in his uniform.
You're right. That's what we were talking about off air. He doesn't look as skinny and, like, pot-bellied.
No.
It's weird,
man. They have a muscle on him.
Maybe he's just been chilling this offseason. Maybe he's actually going to retire before the season starts.
That's how he sticks it to Belichick the night before camp. I'm done.
I'm done, Coach.
Wow.
Sorry.
All right, let's get some reaction here to the trade. Who do you think won? We played Popovich's sound pretty, you know, pretty straightforward as Pop often is. So we'll get to that. We'll get to inbounds, out of bounds coming up next segment. We'll get to the Josh Hader stuff. Top of the hour, 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific. Clyde Drexler today on the show. We got a lot happening. Jimmy's in Louisiana. Jimmy's up first on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Jimmy? How are you today?
Living the dream every day. Love the show, guys.
Attaboy. What's up, man?
Oh, man. I just think when I was listening to you talk about the Kawhi trading, you know, you said that it might be able to be a wash or push, and I just don't think that this is any way but a win for Toronto, and this is why.
Are you a Raptors fan, by the way, Jimmy?
I am not. I'm a Bulls fan. I'm a Chicago transplant.
Okay. So how is this a win for Toronto? I don't see it.
Money. I think he's getting to that. Go ahead.
So I looked at this from a short-term and a long-term perspective. Mm-hmm. Short-term, Kawhi is definitively an upgrade over DeMar DeRozan.
I agree with that.
Saw this in the playoffs when DeMar gets benched in the fourth quarter. You know, I view him as an empty stats type of player where he gets paid max money. He's a very good player, but no one's ever going to mistake him for an all-star.
No doubt. Yeah. You're right.
He's an all-star. He's not a superstar. Yeah. But, Jimmy, let's not forget, this was his first year in this new kind of shoot the rock from three. Don't keep taking those mid-range jumpers and be the scorer, right? He shot terribly, even though he did shoot much better.
Shot better, but yeah.
But 31%, I think, on the year. So he's not – I mean, he was kind of thrust in a new role that he was a little bit uncomfortable with, right?
Right, and so, but what I'm saying is that if you're that type of player, if you're going to be a max money guy who wants to be a superstar in this league, you have to find a way to produce every time, and definitely in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Never winning a game against LeBron when it mattered, getting benched in the fourth quarter. You know, Dwayne Casey gets fired after winning Coach of the Year. You know, there's a lot of bad in Toronto this past 6 months or so, and I think DeMar is a big part of that.
Jimmy, by the way, I think you're right. I don't think that it's unfair. Thanks for the call, bud. I want to get to these other ones. I don't think it's unfair to position an all-star as a bit of a dilemma. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not disrespectful.
No,
because
not at all.
It's certainly not intended to be that way. DeMar DeRozan could fill it up. No doubt he could drop 40 on
you. You're right.
But he's not going to elevate you to a championship. He hasn't done it thus far. He's only going to, you know, attrition's going to set in, lose a little burst in his game. He's kind of quick, for sure. And, you know, he's going to be 29 when the season starts. He's got 3 more years to go. It's $28 million a pop, roughly. It's a lot of cash for a guy who's not going to elevate you over the hump.
Yeah.
So I think what he's saying is you get rid of that money. Lowry's contract is almost off the book after next year. And Kawhi, you get some nice prospects. You start over.
But
trade him to the Lakers.
I think of it from a Toronto Raptors fan standpoint, right? They win 59 games last year. They're the number one seed in the East. Everything feels like, finally, right? Even if we do have to face LeBron, we have a chance. We all know what happened. But LeBron's gone now. And in a sense, you were still right there. And now you're just completely resetting?
I think it's very misleading. They could have easily bumped into the Celtics, say, in the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago. I think they may have gotten swept. I think they may have won a game. And that's without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. I mean, that's without bumping into the Sixers.
But how do you win 59 games and are sweepable?
Because the Knicks were terrible. The Nets were terrible. Mm. The Bulls were terrible.
Yeah, their division was bad.
Their division wasn't that good either. So, you know, the Magic were terrible. I'm not saying the four or five teams I just mentioned are ready to take that big jump forward.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, suddenly you got Jabari Parker and Markkanen. All right, okay. Is that a 23-win team? No.
No.
Is that a 50-win team? No. But the point is that they can beat you if you're not ready to play. And there just weren't enough teams in the Eastern Conference last year that if you didn't take them seriously, you're out the night before at the club or you play two games in four nights. But they just didn't have the personnel to beat you.
Yeah.
And now I think more teams in the East do. They're not winning 59. Even if they had DeMar DeRozan, I don't know if they would have won more than 50 this year. I think they would have taken a step back. But I do like their bench. Cap is in L.A. Get his thoughts on this. Cap, what's going on, buddy? Tinky and Tierney, how are you?
No, Tinky and running back football giant Barber.
What's up, Cap?
What's happening? You wanted to call
me
running
back? I had to call y'all back, man. You know he going to end up in L.A., man. I told you next year, man.
Yeah, he's going to look good in Clippers uniform. Get filled up.
No, man. Why you want to come to the JV?
Because he doesn't want to compete with LeBron,
man. Listen, man, listen. And all them kids that from California, he's from California and Pomona, everybody came up wanting to play for the Lakers, man. Mm-hmm. That dude want to come here. He do not want to be second fiddle to LeBron in a Clipper uniform and going away. He might well stay there and Shaq.
Hey, Cap, I got a question for you, though. Cap, I got a question for you. It flies right in the face of what you're talking about.
I know. I hope you're asking what I'm thinking.
Paul George, all he said last year was, I want to go to the Lakers. I want to go to the Lakers.
Is he from Kentucky?
He had his one year. Had his one year, right? Exactly. He's definitely not from Oklahoma.
From Montana.
He's definitely not from Oklahoma City, right? And here he is, completely free, right? And what does he do?
Yep.
He doesn't even get free.
Peace.
He comes back. He hops back in, man. Yep. So I get that argument. These L.A. guys want to go play for the Lakers because they loved the Lakers when they were growing up, and they wanted to be at the you know, on the Strip and in the Forum and all these. It's I don't know, man. Things can change if you get the right environment. I'm not saying that's going to happen for Kawhi in Toronto.
I still think he's going to wind up in L.A., but you had to volley that back to him.
Yeah,
because you can't just call up and say that everybody from L.A. wants to play for the Lakers, and the last guy who had the chance to do it didn't do it.
Well, the difference is Paul George goes to OKC, where Russell Westbrook, as much as he may be a pain in the butt to play with sometimes, he's still a superstar.
Yeah,
he's still laying it all out there every night.
No
and
doubt.
You feel it, right? Mm-hmm. Even if it's annoying, it's like energetic, right? I mean, you can't help but go along with the tide of Russell Westbrook. I don't think Kawhi is going to get that in Toronto, especially if he's completely closed to it, like he's intimating that he is.
Let's get Hassan, who was up in Toronto, and he's checking in here on Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Hassan? What do you think about this? And what do your people think? What's going on?
Oh, man, I don't know about my people, but I know what I feel and my kid. My kid at 15 and 17 and grew up with DeRozan, actually, his era, like last 9 years.
Yep.
And they both play basketball. One of them wake me up and gave me the news and really sad. And between three of us, we have 10 jerseys. Wow. And all DeRozan. And we don't know what to do. But I told them it's a business. You will understand one day. But it's hard for the fan because he's very loyal to the city. He's one of the best Raptors ever. He never had any bad reputation anywhere in NBA and the city. He's a very respected guy. So it's hard to say goodbye, obviously. But on the other hand, it's business like all of you guys. I can hear you all last half an hour, 1 hour. But I think Toronto get better on that position. And we are NBA. We can make it to the NBA final. I still believe it. And
well,
the thing
you can,
is,
but
I just don't know if Masai get any kind of assurance from his agent or him that he might stay here or something, right? So I don't know if any of you guys know anything, but I think it's better for Raptors. I think that's all I.
I think you're probably right. I'm just defending the changes that they made under Dwayne Casey. You know, they're basically the same. Mostly the same formula.
What's that guy's name?
Nick Nurse.
Nick Nolte?
Exactly. I honestly, if he was standing right Nick there, Nurse. I wouldn't know what he looked like.
I don't think I would either. I hate to admit that.
I mean,
but
in time we will, but right now I couldn't tell you what he looked like. But I do remember his name now.
Mm-hmm.
But the system is going to be the same. And you just completely just change it because Kawhi's not going to play in that kind of system.
This is where you and I differ. I think you had to change it. You're a little less committed to that.
But it was successful, BT.
Successful, but successful to a point. Mm. Now, if DeMar DeRozan was still an ascending player, and he's not, he's going to be 29. Not that he's going to get, you know, worse, and not that it's over.
Yeah.
He's not going to get better unless Pop taps into something, and he very well might. I don't know that he was going to get better in Toronto. Kyle Lowry's not going to get better.
Mm-mm.
And the crazy thing is, Toronto's been through this before. Vince Carter, Chris Bosh, T-Mac. I mean, they've had some, I don't want to say that Chris Bosh is an all-time great, but, and Vince
Carter.
He's a
Hall of Famer, though.
He's a Hall of Famer, and so is T-Mac, and so is Vince Carter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've lost some pretty damn good players.
You're right.
You know, they've lost some good ones.
Going on to do pretty good things wherever they went to.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right.
Not trying to indict Toronto, but kind of like just saying.
It's a great arena.
Yeah.
I've never been to a Raptors game.
The fans are phenomenal. Like, you see it on television.
It's phenomenal. Yeah.
Even when they're away, the fans pack the arenas in the square. Whatever. I forget what the square is.
Yeah, a lot of teams do that now. Yeah, but I feel like they were one of the first to do it.
I agree.
Everybody does that now.
I know.
By the way, where would they do that in New York if the Knicks ever made it?
Times Square, man.
Times Square?
Yeah, why not?
You'd get that many people shut down traffic for a game?
Well,
it's
half shut down already.
You can do it on Broadway.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's half shut down already because of the pedestrian traffic, the pedestrian
and all the tables
areas.
They put out there and
all
that stuff.
And everything, which sucks driving through there now.
That's
but
true. That's true.
I don't know where else you would do it, though.
Central Park.
Bryant Park.
Bryant Park's a great – Rangers did that a lot with Bryant Park. Get a big projector up there.
I had lunch in Bryant Park today.
Bryant Park's
at a restaurant.
Yeah. Oh, I've been there. Great spot.
Perfectly 82-degree day.
Yeah.
Sunny.
Yeah.
It was
– Bryant Park is awesome. I know what you're hinting at.
Beautiful.
I know what you're getting at, by the way.
Beautiful.
I know what you're hinting at without saying it. I got you.
It was beautiful.
I got you. I hear you. I feel you. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show. Axe update is now. We got inbounds out of bounds after that. Here's the Axe man. All right. Inbounds out of bounds coming up in a sec. We'll get to Josh Hader. Top of the next hour coming up here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network on this busy Wednesday. Time to ask the pros first, though. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. And it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, so you should know the drill by now. But if not, just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio and use the hashtag Ask the Pros. That is at CBS Sports Radio, hashtag Ask the Pros, and make sure you stick around and listen later. Tiki and I will answer the best ones. So the more compelling it is, better chance we get to it. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. By the way, and we'll get to this in-depth, 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, but the All-Star game was awesome last night.
Yeah.
It really was good.
Yeah, they did a good – I always, like, don't think I want to watch it, but the game was actually decent. I think I don't want to watch it, but the game was actually good.
It was.
And then I think even – going back, because I wasn't here yesterday, the home run derby was exciting.
I spent some time on that. It was pretty good.
I saw it on replay because I was on a plane. Mm-hmm. But when I got back, it was replaying, obviously. And Bryce Harper, man, he put every ounce of himself into that, which is not something I would have expected him to do. Maybe because last year Aaron Judge did it in convincing fashion with, like, minimal effort.
You know, he's got such different power.
It's
easy power.
Like, whatever. I'm just going to flip him out there. But Bryce Harper was, like, muscle. I mean, it was actually pretty, you know, fun to watch and encouraging that a superstar like that actually wanted to entertain on a day that he didn't really need to.
Yeah, he delivered. There's no doubt. Yeah. Unless, you could say, there's no pressure. It's the home run derby. It's the home run. It's the home team's crowd.
Right.
It's his home ballpark, I should say. And he wanted to embarrass himself. And there was a point. That's why his dad had to start cheating a little bit.
Yeah.
Which I don't care about, by the way.
Of course not.
I mean, if you want to enforce it, have the ump do his job, who's right behind home plate, before it hits the stands. There's that rule of it, but whatever. It was a great showcase for the game. But, you know, there is pressure. There's internal pressure right there. But I think when I look at Bryce Harper, I've said this before, and I'm really interested to see what he does the second half, because I think part of the reason he's hitting below .215 is he's just gripping the bat. Mm-hmm. He's got, you know, free agency on his mind.
Home run derbying it.
Yeah, but I think that the free agency, I think he brings that into the batter's box every night. And maybe he can exhale now and just play ball. And not that he's a .330 hitter outside the 1 year. There's no reason Bryce Harper shouldn't hit .270 with his eyes shut.
Yeah.
But I think the home run derby is an interesting illumination of his hitting hole, the hole in his swing. You watch all these other, and you bring up Judge. Judge has, not that he doesn't strike out, but Judge is going to hit .280, .275, and he's got a polished groove swing. And if you watch Bryce Harper, there's a hitch to generate all this power and this torque. And I'm telling you, and I remember saying this when he first came up, when you do that, what are you susceptible to? Pull the string, change up, curve, slider. So he's got to either make adjustments or he'll just be a little less what we thought he would be. And again, he's still terrific. Mm-hmm. But that article back in 09 when he was a sophomore in high school in Las Vegas, I read it 2 days ago. I went back and I reread it. And they said he's Mickey Mantle. He's not Mickey Mantle.
No.
He's not bad.
No.
He's good, but he's not Mickey Mantle. All right, Teak, you ready for Inbounds Out of Bounds, brother?
Yeah, let's get to it.
Here we go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
Here we go. The island's been deserted. Former Jet star. Boy, you don't hear that too often. Yeah. Former Jet star. Former Jet star Darrelle Revis officially announced his retirement from the NFL. Did that today on Instagram. Quote, my passion to play the game at an elite level brought fun and excitement to the term shutdown corner, which was nearly on the verge of extinction. Boy, don't pat yourself on the back too hard. Jeez.
I got to tell you, it is, though.
I understand that.
I agree.
But his humility is not a bad thing.
He shouldn't say it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Revis made 7 Pro Bowls, first team All-Pro 4 times, which obviously is the real indicator, as we know. In or out, Revis Island was the best shutdown corner since Neon.
Yeah,
Deion
yeah
Sanders.
You know, I got to say inbound for this, and there's a bunch that I try to, throw in there. But they all came before him and before Deion. No, Mike Haynes and Mel Blount and Daryl Green. I grew up a Redskins fan, so obviously I'm big on him. Maybe Champ Bailey you throw in there, but I'm going to say it was Revis. He was amazing. You put him on one guy, he could shut him down. But you saw the beginning of the end when that Terrell Owens caught that touchdown over him. It's like, man, he never gets beat like that. I mean, he gets beat every now and then, but not like that. That was the first step towards the end. He actually went and won a championship with the Patriots after that. But there weren't many that could do what he did. And you shut down half a field. Gives your defense so much better chances to win football games.
Oh, he was amazing. My answer is inbounds here. It's funny you bring up Champ Bailey. Back in 2006, Champ Bailey, all right, I had to dig deep into the numbers. I want to make sure I got this right because my mind said certainly Revis, but I want to make sure I didn't leave out Bailey because I knew that season was great. He was thrown at 35 times. He allowed 4 receptions, which is basically a 10% completion rate.
That's
think
amazing.
About that. Think about that.
Agreed.
He defended 21 out of 35 passes, 10 picks, and 6 of the 10 picks were inside Denver's 4-yard line, and 3 were in the end zone. Think about that as well. See, but it is inbounds. You know, the year that Revis had in, I guess that would have been 09, right? Andre Johnson, a young Andre Johnson, a beast, 4 receptions, 35 yards. Randy Moss, no touchdowns. Randy Moss, 4 receptions, 24 yards, no touchdowns. T.O. with the Bills, that he's still relatively young. He had 3 receptions for 13 yards. Steve Smith, 1 reception for 5 yards. Roddy White, young Falcons, 4 receptions, 33 yards. Chad Ochocinco, donut, no catches, no yards. Reggie Wayne, 3 catches for 33. Here's what I say
about
the hell
of a schedule they played.
Yeah, no, we were actually pretty good somehow. The crazy thing is,
because of that, that's why you're so good. You're shutting down the best player on those opposing teams.
That's why he is the best shutdown corner. I can easily say inbounds, but as the devout Jets fan in the room, here's my problem with Darrelle Revis. It's a complex legacy. There's no doubt he's the most talented Jet of all time.
Held him up every other year.
I can even live with that. Yeah. That's fine. Most talented Jet of all time. Namath is the most symbolic, given the merger, Super Bowl III, the Colts, 16.5-point dogs. But Namath had a very spotty resume, stat-wise. We all know that. And Revis, who is the best player of all time, a little better than Curtis, a little better than Klecko, whatever, a couple of the centers, Kevin Mawai, Nick Mangold, you can throw in there as well if you want, Maynard. But the problem with, for me, Revis wins a championship with my mortal enemy, the Patriots, and then when he comes back, admittedly, he stopped caring about
chilling.
Football.
Yeah, he's completely chilling.
He was fat, and he was terrible. But inbounds, when he was on, he was the man.
Are you in or are you out?
I know it's a little long on that, but that's an important topic.
You're a Jets fan. You can't help yourself.
There you go. For the second straight year, a Lakers player earned Summer League MVP with former Villanova star Josh Hart, who we've always liked.
Nice
Josh Hart
ball,
to play.
Man.
He's a talented player. He's a grinder. Took home the honors this year. Lonzo Ball won it a year ago. So since Magic was named president of basketball ops in 2017, Lakers have drafted Lonzo Ball. They landed Kyle Kuzma. And Brooke Lopez did a draft day deal for D'Angelo Russell. They traded for this year's 30th pick, Hart. And, of course, they signed LeBron James. In or out? Magic is the top executive in the NBA right now.
I want to say inbounds because they got LeBron, but I'm going to say out of bounds. I think what Danny Ainge has done in Boston, it's magical. He hoodwinks you. He gets you to trade with him. I'm going to move out of the top pick because my guy's going to be there anyways. And he gets the best player in the draft last year, and two seasons ago, exactly. And so you can't compete with that. And then you look what they have going forward. And, you know, in 2019, there's a chance that the Boston Celtics are going to have four picks. They might have the Clippers, which is protected from the lottery, or the Grizzlies, not the Grizzlies, or the Sacramento Kings pick for the 76ers. The Clippers first-round pick. They have the Grizzlies first-round pick. And then they obviously have their own first-round pick. They got four first-round picks in 2019.
Got to use them eventually, though.
Well, if there turns out to be some amazing transcendent player coming out of the draft this year, they can go wherever they want in the draft. I mean, you can't discount what Danny Ainge has positioned.
No, I'm saying out of bounds. I don't think Magic's the best executive. Yeah. First of all, LeBron was going to L.A. no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if Buss's son, if that shy sideshow clown was still running the team, he still would have gone to L.A. He was going to the Lakers. Have you watched Jason Tatum play basketball?
Uh-huh.
He was a third overall pick. He took Alonzo second. He can't shoot.
You're right.
Have you watched Donovan Mitchell play basketball? He's 13th overall pick. Now, a lot of teams missed on that, but I mean, a lot of this is circumstantial. Yeah, Kuzma was a sound, smart. He really fleshed some acumen there. But I give him almost no credit for Magic. For LeBron James. So I'm gonna say Danny Ainge is the answer. Out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
This is a good one here, Teague. So yesterday during Big 12 Media Day, Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy made it known he's not a fan. Who is? Of the current playoff football format, but maybe not for the reasons you think. Saying, quote, if you're a smaller school, actually going after the little guy here, you really have no chance to win a national championship because you'll never get in, and I don't think that that's fair. Attaboy, Gundy.
Sure.
I'm 40, I'm a man. Remember, then he's the one who said that, right? I'm 40, I'm a man. He's probably 50 now. That was a while ago.
It was a while ago.
He's still the man. We're pretty sure about that. So Gundy went on to say that he'd prefer an 8-team playoff, which we all would be down with all Power 5 conference champs, two wild cards, and a group of five school. In or out, the proposal from Gundy is inbounds or out of bounds.
As much as I want to agree with this, and I think it's very, very interesting, if you put eight teams in the NCAA playoff system, then it's basically a NFL season.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how many games the teams that go to the end are going to play. So it's college kids. You got to protect them in some way, and the system is what it is. I love his mullet, by the way.
Look at that haircut, jeez.
It's kind of like half a mullet, but it's still there. So I'm saying out of bounds simply because of the way the attrition that it's going to take on some of these teams. They're not professionals. Now, if they change the expectation, meaning how much they're paying these guys, and did you see the Josh Rosen proposal on how to pay college athletes?
No, I didn't see
it. It's actually really thoughtful. He had one of his buddies draw up a business plan.
Oh, really?
It's about deferring compensation.
Sure.
Like, earn the compensation. You don't get it unless you graduate.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually pretty compelling. We should get into it at some point.
Okay.
But I'm going to say out of bounds simply because I think it extends the season a little bit too long for college kids.
Totally disagree. I'm going to say inbounds here. Listen, first of all, this is a very easy solution. Now, I know that the grind of certain conferences, you almost have to build in like a built-in patsy. But do we really have to sit through Alabama and the Citadel on Saturday, November 17th?
Agreed.
You want to truncate the season? Get rid of that game. There's a way around this. And again, I know you're getting ready for Auburn. You want to be healthy. I understand all that stuff. You want to represent all the Power Fives here, but I am a huge proponent. I know it's never going to represent the Cinderella style that the NCAA hoops setup gives us here, but there's something to be said on any given Saturday, you know, to take to borrow the phrase from the movie and certainly for the NFL. You just never know. And that's part of the intrigue and part of the mystery and part of the beauty of intercollegiate sports when there's some unpredictability with kids. They're not, even though we treat them like men because they generate billions,
they're not. They're going to make mistakes.
It would be unbelievable. I'd love to see that inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, the Open Championship, little golf. I'll be up early for this. Tomorrow, Carnoustie in Scotland, Dustin Johnson. He's the favorite, Teague, 12-1. Now, behind him, you got Justin Rose. He's always tough. Rory, you got Fowler. You got Tommy Fleetwood as well. Fleetwood's playing nicely. Tiger comes in 25-1. I love the value there, by the way. And he's tied with reigning FedEx Cup Justin Thomas and Henrik Stenson, Sergio, and others at 25-1. Now, Tiger was asked if the Open is his best chance to win his 15th major?
Certainly, I would say yes, because of the fact that you don't have to be long to play on a link-style golf course. And look what Tom did at Turnberry. It certainly can be done.
And, of course, that would be Tom Watson. I believe that was one that Stuart Sink won when we were all, no offense, Stuart, we were all rooting for Tom Watson. Bad break on 18, hit a great shot, ricocheted off the green. Tom Watson should have won that. Okay, in or out, Carnoustie's Tiger's best shot at a 15th major since he got back.
I'm going to say out of bounds. Tiger just can't putt consistently. I'm not a hater. When you start calling him Tiger who? Tiger Woods.
Might be saying that in a couple of days.
You're not going to be saying that.
Tiger Woods is going to win this.
He can't putt consistently enough. So
Tiger's going to win. Stop sleeping on him. I read today, my answer is inbounds. I love that we disagree on this. We'll get some answers soon. On the 18th hole today, hit a 2-iron. I guess it was some downwind, I'm sure, and I'm sure it was pretty obviously pretty dry, although I heard it was wet, but it had to be downwind. He hit a 2-iron, 333 yards. Mm. If he could keep his, which is just
keep it in the bag.
Yeah, don't even bring it. Just leave the driver at the hotel. Don't even bring it, man. So if he's doing that, I know the greens are slow, which I think offsets an advantage. If he's dialed in, allows inferior putters to hang around. Tiger's playing well, and he will win this. He will win this event. He'll win, dude. He'll win.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.